one of the interesting things that we now know is that our NHS system or our health system is performing pretty badly when you compare it to its developed peers. We came 10th out of 11 countries in relation to death rates amenable to healthcare, infant mortality, and crucially, healthy life expectancy. So we are performing worse and worse, if I can put it like that, when compared to our peers in terms of total population health, if I can put it like that. And that's because our health system is designed back in the 19th century for industrial accidents, for typhoid, for what we call acute. But all of the things that are increasingly killing us and also robbing us of our healthy years are chronic diseases like cancer, dementia, and a lot of those result from socioeconomic factors. So the biggest factor in health, this is the interesting stuff, is that our health service probably accounts for only 10 to 15% of our health. It's actually, depending on what you measure and how you measure it, it's a very small part of securing the health of a population. The overwhelming factors that determine the health of our fellow citizens are socioeconomic, you know, things like income, poverty, lifestyle, various forms of how much you eat, how much you drink, how much you exercise.
Well, and in the era that you talked about when it was founded, things like public health, you know, we weren't that far down the line from, in fact, then we would still have had people with only outdoor loos, that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. And we began public health, you know, when we combated typhoid and we put sewers in. But what's happened is that because we're becoming more and more unhealthy, and because the poorest and the most deprived amongst us are getting more unhealthy even than that, is that our hospitals are being overwhelmed by these untreated conditions that we haven't intervened in early enough. And so they panic, they demand more from the centre, more money is funneled into A&E, into hospitals, and we never change. Now, what's interesting about this awful COVID thing is it showed up yet another aspect of our failure to develop public health. Track and trace. One of the inexplicable things that happened is right at the beginning, we decided we didn't have the capacity to contain the virus. And part of that is we didn't have localized track and trace. So we could see who had it. And if there was an outbreak in an area, we could suppress in an area. We didn't have that. We got no local track and trace ability, and we're scrambling now to catch up. And if we hadn't had that, and if we hadn't kind of left the borders open, which is another great mystery, we could possibly have avoided the total lockdown that we've had.
And it was interesting at the very beginning of the crisis, of the coronavirus crisis, I remember hearing ministers talk about, and commentators as well sometimes, talk about how our very centralised mono healthcare system was a strength. But when you compare it to Germany's more federalised approach, when it comes to testing, for example, our centralised system with Public Health England and its control, the heavy hand of control over testing, has proved to have been a real weakness.
Well, quite. I mean, you know, this has long been my claim. I've worked for 10 years on devolution with my colleague Mark Moran. We wrote the original paper for devolution to Manchester. And the point is the centre cannot design bespoke treatments for different parts of the country. And different parts of the country are affected by different things because of their different history, their different legacy. Some parts of the country are prosperous, others are not prosperous. So what we're essentially saying to in this report, and we're going to publish more and more along this, is actually the if you were standing back, you know, on the moon or on Mars, and you said, what is the single most effective institution for giving us better health in this country? You wouldn't choose the NHS. You would choose local government, because local government influences far more of the factors that determine health far more than anything else, they control the local economic geography, they control the houses that are built, they can control what they look like. They control...
And we find ourselves in a situation where almost half of English councils are talking about they might go bankrupt.
Yes, and that's precisely because the demands that are placed on them, we are not giving them the resources to meet. So what we're saying is use this terrible emergency to redesign the state. So we've heard a lot that the state isn't ready, and that's because the centralized state can't deliver for the problems we now face. What we have to do is move at scale. We need to integrate all healthcare spending in an area with social care spending and with any spending on health. And we need the local authority, the hospitals, the NHS to all sit on a single commissioning body and say, what can we do to stop all these chronically ill people flooding into A&E?
You're describing a model I'm sure it can be finessed, this model, but it's a model that we are now using when it comes to safeguarding and families who need safeguarding, children who need safeguarding, isn't it? Multi-agency co-working.
And these are the only things that work, because we still in this country run ourselves along the lines of departments in Whitehall. And we know that place is the greatest determinant of what happens to you when you're born. It still remains the case that the single greatest indicators of what will happen to you are your mother's level of education, the postcode where you're born. Place is the Greek equivalent, what the Greeks used to call fate. And we need to actually give our local government a huge raft of powers so they can respond to their needs. And for instance, if you even get more people into school where you work, so the Audit Commission found that 4 more years of school can on average relate to a 16% reduction in mortality rates. These extra years in school reduce the risk of heart disease, obesity, and diabetes. And we now live in a country where a boy born today in the most deprived area of England can expect to live about 19 fewer years in good health than a boy born into the least deprived area.
Yeah.
So that's 20 years of ill health because of the penalty of place. And the state picks that up.
Okay.
So what we're arguing is, for goodness sake, don't try to fix a broken system. The NHS, conceived as a centralised system, is broken. And I've worked in countless bits of consultancy with the NHS. They, because of the way they're funded, they're very resistant to working with local authorities, very resistant to allowing co-commissioning across local authorities.
Okay.
Because the demand for acute care centralises money, funding and expertise. We basically need to reorganise local government and reorganise healthcare together. So in future, it's local government that controls your local health service. And that will give us the ability, perhaps for the first time, to have a proper public health system in this country.
Well, let's see whether coronavirus and the aftermath makes that come any sooner. Thank you very much, Philip Blond, Director of Res Publica.